Fantasy Baseball Nuts, and a big warm welcome to the very best seat in the house that is behind home plate. My name's Johnny Gould. As you know, I am a fantasy baseball enthusiast, but sadly, no expert. But the good news, that side of things more than covered by my very dear friend and fantasy baseball legend, Mr. James Holden. Jimbo.
Hello, JG. Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Everything is well. And I should say to you, welcome back to baseball, because you've been a bit distracted this week, have you not, Jonathan?
I have indeed. The word fantasy has taken over my life. And for once, it's not baseball we're talking about. I was persuaded by a fellow fantasy baseball nut friend of mine, Nick Schapanik, to join a, would you believe it, NFL fantasy baseball league. And literally, Jimbo, if you think I know nothing about baseball, I truly know nothing about NFL. So I entered in, they did a snake draft, and I was looking at all the, you know, and it was carnage, mate. And no clue.
How long did you have to prepare for this snake draft?
I had about a week, but I actually... I had a week to prepare, but I actually invested about an hour, if I'm brutally honest. So, yeah. And I've just had my first week results back, and I scored 183 points, which apparently is a fantastic score, and I lost. So Johnny the Jinx is live and well, Jimbo. It's not just fantasy baseball. I came up against a guy who had the most phenomenal first week. Apparently, I beat every other player in the league that week with that score.
So I think you know where your spiritual home is, Johnny. It's back here with us talking baseball.
It is, mate.
Place that you know.
So, You're absolutely right, mate. You're absolutely right. So anyway, I'm back where I belong. Not that the experience here is any different to that in the NFL league. If you want to get in touch with us, as always, our email behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com, or you can, of course, contact us on Twitter. The show handle is @BHPpod. But if you want to get in touch with us individually, then obviously I'd love to hear from you. My email, Twitter, that's the one. Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould, M for mother, and James is @Jam99. And do keep the questions coming in, guys. I've got to say, we've had loads coming in of late, and that's absolutely fab. And we're definitely going to get a few of them in today's show. But at this stage, I want to apologise, Jim, not to you. I'm just beginning to feel awful that we reference Wanda Franco on behalf of all of us.
Franco. There's no J or G in there.
There's no K either by the sounds of things, according to one of our listeners. I'm just going to call him Wanda. I'm going to apologise to Wanda, because the minute we introduce it, start talking about the streak, the OBP streak, what happens? We jinx him. Johnny the Jinx. He's on the IL, mate. He's injured.
I love that. Yeah, he went on the injured list about 2 days ago. I should say, the streak is still alive. Even Johnny the Jinx has not jinxed the streak. So he got injured on his second at-bat, but the first at-bat, he actually did make it to first at least. So the streak is alive. But
Do you know where we are on the streak? Is it 39?
Something like that, yeah.
So he's only about four shy of... It's Frank Robinson, isn't it?
Of the youth record. But yeah, a long way to go. Yeah, after you tell me that Ted Williams stat, was it 84 games on base? It's like, I mean, this is great from Wanda, but actually somebody does this most seasons.
He's a rookie, mate. He's a rookie, absolutely. Well, we got loads to look forward to, Jim. First batter up, we're going to catch up with what's been going on in Major League Baseball. And I tell you what, loads has been going on. We're going to find out who's hot. We're going to find out what's happening in the BHP race, as we like to call it, either race to 50, whether that be 50 home runs or 50 stolen bases. And most important of all, what are the implications of all these stories to fantasy baseball? Even involves a quick rummage in the mailbag. I love that word, rummage. Batter number two, delighted to say, we have a guest this week, a very special guest. This man, this gentleman, yes, it's a he, is the winner of this year's Behind Home Plate Rookie League, no less. And we're looking forward to catching up with him about his introduction to fantasy baseball and, of course, how he feels to be the winner of such a prestigious league and take down the legend that is Holden in the final.
It is so prestigious that we don't actually have a trophy or even a prize. And I've only realised that now. that Colin, for his name is Colin, is a really wonderful, great guy from Scotland, and we've got nothing to offer him. So you're going to have to do more than rummage in the mailbag. We're going
you
have
see,
to rummage.
That is a bad attitude. Of course we have something to offer him. We are offering him the chance to be on the podcast. That is a prize in itself, young man. That's what you don't seem to understand.
People pay good money not to come and talk fantasies with you and I. But yeah, absolutely. Okay, sorry.
Right. Batter three. We all know what batter three is. It's the suitcase. We'll be finding out some key pickups for the week from Jimbo and, of course, a Hail Mary, and maybe even checking in on the JG Hail Mary from a few weeks ago and find out how he's getting on. Anyway, all that to look forward to on this week's episode 25 of Behind Home Plate. Well, we kick things off with batter one. What's going on in the major leagues? The story, of course, of the past week, well, certainly in the AL, has to be those flying Blue Jays, Toronto Blue Jays, 9-1, Jimbo. They now lead the AL wildcard race.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable, the turnaround there. I mean, they are scoring for fun. They do realize they've scored double figures, like 10 or more runs, in five of their last 12 games. I mean,
unbelievable.
It's sensational. They've got 22 against Baltimore on Sunday. They are on fire at just the right time in terms of hitting the playoffs.
Well, timing, as you say, Jim, is everything. The Yankees, by comparison, who were leading that wildcard race, have gone 2-8. Currently, though, still second in the wildcard spot, level with the Red Sox. I believe that's right. We're recording at 9:15 p.m. on the 14th of September. So I'm assuming that is still up to date.
You are still right. So it's now, yeah, it's Blue Jays, Yankees, Red Sox. But it takes me back. You remember when Eric, our producer, will once again be disappointingly proved right, because it was we did some predictions. I had to appear on Johnny and Josh because various people were away.
You had to appear. You had to. Well, you were given no choice.
I had a fantastic opportunity to further my career as a sports podcaster by appearing on the big boys. The serious jacketed Johnny and Josh show with you and Eric. And we were looking at predictions then. And actually, we were all over Boston at the time and Tampa. And Eric was sitting there going, no, the Blue Jays will come through. And producer Eric will be right at this rate. So,
yeah, absolutely. But you also seem to have conveniently forgotten that at the beginning of the season, I was tipping the Blue Jays to win the AL East. Now, they're not going to do that, but they are going to end up second if they continue their present run. And they're certainly going to get into the playoffs. And who knows what will happen after that? But that's the AL East. Let's focus now on the AL Central, the White Sox, who, of course, I tipped at the beginning of the season to win 12 and a half games up. I think we can safely say the AL West is done and dusted. And so I'm sorry for all White Sox fans. We're not going to dwell on that because, to be brutally honest, that's the AL Central. What am I talking about? The AL Central is done and dusted. And I've got to be honest, it's a pretty boring division. Would you be in agreement with that? Other than the White Sox, what's going on elsewhere?
I think if you're a fan of one of the other leagues, I think, Detroit, the Tigers have had a pretty good season. They're a team we don't talk about very often. I think they've had some highs and played some exciting baseball compared to maybe what's expected. And the youth movement started to come through. But I think we'll talk about teams like that in the off-season, teams who maybe, Detroit, Seattle, are maybe ready to push on. But I think the White Sox, they're there.
Buddy, I don't want to be dismissive of those teams, AL Central. My point was more that the divisional race is basically done and dusted for ages. That is basically dull. Anything but that in the AL West, as we know, though the Astros are looking comfortable, they have a 6.5 game lead. It's not over. Seattle and the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's now fifth, would you believe, in the wild card race, although admittedly only 2.5 games back of the Yankees. So certainly the wild card is still very much up for grabs.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the Astros, they've just kept on ploughing, haven't they? They've just kept on steadily going, steadily through things. And the A's, who started off so strong, we both tipped. We were very excited by. And I don't know, it feels like the last 2 months, they've not really been able to kind of get it together and get a consistency of form. Meanwhile, Seattle, who nobody was tipping to come anything other than bottom, I think, or potentially above Texas in the AL West, they've been playing some great baseball. They're only two games out from the wild card, which I think if you're a Seattle Mariners fan, this is well before expected and great fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, while we're talking about the Astros, we actually have an Astros question from a listener, which I'm going to throw in now, and a huge thanks to Dan Morrison. Dan asks, hi guys, do you think people have undervalued the abilities of the Astros this year due to the scandal? And just before we get your view on this, Jim, I just want to throw in my sixpence. I actually think all the trash can gate, all the wolf whistling, etc., it's galvanized them. I think it's brought them together. I think they've got an attitude of, Everyone hates us, and that's fine. We love each other, and they're playing as a really tight unit. They've got some great players. They've been very, very good offensively, but they've been surprisingly good from a pitching perspective. And the results are showing. That's my view. I think perhaps the determination of many fans to tell them how they think has actually backfired.
You may be right. Yeah,
you don't sound convinced.
Well, specifically, I just think there's more to that. But as professional teams, I think it's obviously hugely disappointing that that kind of thing went on. I mean, one might imagine it happens in other places in other ways, but I do think it's an enormous shame. And particularly, so I think the Astros are actually quite a popular team. They were a team who'd been in the relative doldrums for 10 plus years, had this wealth of young talent coming through. I think it was a really positive baseball story about rebuilding a franchise. And then for that to happen, I think it was such an incredible shame and very, very frustrating and disappointing. But I mean, I would say, yeah, I think we undervalued the abilities of the Astros, but not necessarily because of the scandal. So I think it's more the fact that, you know, they'd lost George Springer at the top of their lineup. They'd lost Justin Verlander and actually, you know, their ace, but actually losing their leadoff hitter and arguably their best hitter and, you know, their ace hasn't hurt them as much as expected. A lot of other players that have stepped up. They've had a bit of a revolving door in the outfield, but lots of it has worked. Other pitchers have come in. Greinke's done his bit. Urizi's done his bit. Luis Garcia's come up from the minors and been fantastic. Their bullpen has been really, really strong. And the other thing is the rest of the division has not been as good as expected. So yeah. We were expecting more from the Angels. We've talked about them quite often. We were expecting more from Oakland. We weren't expecting Seattle and Texas to be that strong. So I think all of those things are going to happen. Yes, we possibly undervalued them, but other people have underperformed, allowing the Astros a relatively smooth sail, I would say.
Okay, well, continuing the mailbag theme, we also have a question on this from Martin Downs, who wants to get more specific. Martin asks, what round does Justin Verlander go in next season? And are you buying or leaving? And this is obviously assuming that he makes a full recovery health-wise.
I think that's, well, you've just hit the nail on the head. We don't know yet, because I think we'll have to see something in spring training or whenever to see some kind of a to get any kind of a feel about how he's pitching, how his arm, his shoulder, et cetera, is looking. So, I mean, he's not a young buck, but equally we're seeing pitchers, you know, Max Scherzer is still going incredibly strong at a very similar age. So there's nothing stopping him. As ever, with all these questions for me, it's about value. So I won't be buying him on name value. See how it is in spring training. I imagine someone will value him more than me. Someone will like his name more than me. I would not be picking him up in the top 75 for me. You know, certainly not in the top 50. It's all about play it safe with your early picks. Look for value later on. If he's around after pick 75, yeah, why not? He's got a track record. In the top 75, no way for me.
Okay, let's have a quick look at the NL. Start off in the West. The Giants, 9-1 their last 10, and back on top of the West, and not just back on top, but 2.5 games ahead of the Dodgers, who themselves were flying. Unbelievably exciting race. I mean, that's possibly the best divisional race there is.
It is. I must admit, I wasn't expecting that. And the Giants have been such a great story all year. And you know, so we've got several Giants fans in many of the leagues I play. They seem to be another, like the Red Sox, another really popular club in the for UK fans. I mean, I just thought when they got caught finally, like 3 weeks out by the Dodgers, I thought it was all over.
Yeah.
But just to see them come back, it's very, very impressive, I have to say, to have kept up this pace for this long. I mean, you really cannot count them out from winning the National League West. And, you know, you can't count them out from going deep in the playoffs. They've shown incredible resilience.
I'll be interested to see what the bookies are offering odds-wise, actually, I have to say. Anyway, NL Central, Milwaukee continue to roll. They were, of course, my tip for the NL Central. 14 games clear at the top, so I think we can safely say that one's done and dusted, whereas the Braves have again eased out to, I believe, a 4.5 game lead over the slumping Phillies. The Mets have slightly turned around what's been a recent slump. So in terms of the NL East, is that race done and dusted to the same degree the NL Central is?
No, it's not done and dusted, but, you know, we are Braves fans who would like to talk about the Braves every week and don't. The Braves, I think, since the All-Star break, have just been pretty solid. So the first half of the season was totally forgettable. The second half's been much more impressive. So I think the Braves are the best team in the National League East. I very much hope they will win it. I think they've got a good chance. The Phillies, to be honest, aren't helping themselves. I think they've only won three of the last 10. And, you know, again, we've talked, they've got good pitching, they've got good hitting. They just haven't really managed to bring it all together at the same time. So my money would be on the Braves. My heart is clear with the Braves. We shall see. There's still quite a few games to go.
Very interesting point of view as well, that with regards to the Phillies, just like with the Dodgers, it was almost when they caught the Braves that everything started to go wrong again. It was almost like the chase is a lot easier than the reality of then staying out in front. But let's have a look at the wild card race in the National League. And that's a little similar to what's happening in the AL. It's still very much up for grabs. I mean, I'm looking at it's Dodgers at the moment and Cincinnati. Dodgers, obviously, guaranteed postseason baseball. Cincinnati have the other automatic spot, but we're talking San Diego half a game back, St. Louis half a game back, Phillies 2.5, Mets 3.5. I think below that, you can accept that that's all over. But that is four teams that could knock the Reds off their perch.
Absolutely. If I had to pick on one, actually, the team I think is the most interesting there is St. Louis. I think that is a team. We don't really talk very much about them. They haven't played the most exciting of baseball, but they've been winning a lot of games recently and nobody is talking about them. And I wonder why not. They're a very underrated team and they've got a significant recent postseason track record. They know how to win. They know how to get in the playoffs. And in the last 10 years, you know, they know how to win the playoffs. So that's the team. If I'm the Reds, I'd almost be more worried almost about the Cardinals than I would possibly by the Padres. But four great teams. I think it'll be two of those four and God knows who.
Okay, well, we also now need to do a quick update on the behind home plate race to 50. Quick explanation. We discussed the possibilities a few weeks back of a player or two reaching 50 home runs, and would a player also reach 50 stolen bases? Obviously not the same player. I said no. I thought that there would be 50 stolen bases, but I didn't see the 50 home run total being reached. I think I may well be wrong. Let's get an update, Jimbo. But certainly one individual's been hitting home runs for fun in the last fortnight.
He has. It's all kicking off big time, isn't it? Vlad Guerrero Jr. back with a bang. He's 5 home runs for Vlad in the last week. That's 9 in the last 15 days. He's now leading the race. He's on 45 home runs. Still got another 3 weeks to go, or, you know, 2.5 weeks. He could easily get to 50. Shohei's another one this week. So Shohei Ohtani's on 44 home runs, just one behind Vlad, and Sal Perez stuck on 42. So looking good.
And what about the story of the stolen bases? Where are things happening there?
Stolen bases, similar to that kind of the race is back on, I'd say. We were saying last week, Starling Marte had taken the week off and had only got one. He's back in the groove. He's got the right running shoes on this week. He's got another 3 stolen bases. He's up to 45 stolen bases. So again, 45 home runs for Vlad, 45 stolen bases for Starling Marte. Very exciting. Genuinely think we might get to 50 in either or both of those.
Well, it's interesting because that was the question. Would someone do it for each category? And I have to say, I think it's quite a shout to say yes to both, but it's certainly looking on song at the moment with just 5 apiece missing. Anyway, great stuff, Jimbo. Thank you for that. That is batter number one. Time now for our guest. Well, batter number two is quite simply the coronation of our Rookie League winner. Quick reminder for all our behind home plate listeners, the Rookie League, of course, we set up 20 brave men and one woman, took part in a head-to-head, which was then followed by a playoffs, and one man reigned supreme pretty much the whole season. He took down not only me in the quarters, but Jimbo in the playoffs. And I have to say, he humiliated Jimbo in the final, whereas I had a pretty good head-to-head with him. And that man's name, ladies and gentlemen, is Colin Fakeney. And he joined us now. Big Cole, congratulations, sir. Is this possibly the greatest moment of your life?
Well, it's funny. I've got a very important birthday coming up a week on Friday where I'll be 50. So I think this is the best present I could possibly hope for my 50th.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I did know that. Somebody on the league, actually, I think it might have been Mike, told me that.
Yeah.
And thank God you reminded me because I'd completely forgotten. So happy birthday for a week's time. Happy 50th, the big one.
So I was saying, my wife was just struggling to get me something for my birthday, and I said, you don't need to, I'm the Rookie League champion, I'm happy.
So she loves us now, does she? Having hated us all season.
Saved her a fortune.
Fantastic. Well, absolutely sensational. Now, I know I want to talk to you about the emotion of the experience, but I'm going to allow Jimbo his moment in the sun to talk more technical terms.
Well, I don't know, technical, because I, of course, am interested in the fantasy aspect. So, I mean, you did win the final very comprehensively against me, I have to say. And your team is absolutely, it's sensational. You know, in a 20-team league, to have a team, and if I just give you like five of Colin's top, five of his nine hitters, Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, Vlad Guerrero Jr., we've just been talking about the race for the home run lead between those two, Rafael Devers, Marcus Semien, in a 20-team, I mean, clearly you went in bat heavy, but was that your plan at the draft? Did you even have a plan? What were you trying to do with your team this year?
Yeah, so I was a complete novice to this and had listened to your podcast quite in depth in the build-up to have some idea of what I was going to do, because before that I'd literally had no idea. So on a couple of the podcasts, I'm sure I picked up from probably yourself or Johnny about the first couple of rounds, you tended to avoid sort of ace pitchers and go for batting because the turns maybe more sort of guaranteed. So I decided maybe to take that to extreme and sort of to go in bat heavy initially, and maybe got a bit carried away because I had a few people that I liked that I wanted to pick, not just because I thought they would be good, but I quite liked the idea of having them in the team, because I think also you'd mentioned about that. So I had decided to go bat heavy, but Paul got a bit carried away when some of the names that I hadn't got picked were still available, so I just kept picking them.
Oh, well, it certainly worked out for you. And I think just more broadly, we talk about, you know, kind of how can you build a team? I mean, I'm delighted to hear that somebody's actually listening to the gump we say.
Have to say, Jimbo, if I could interrupt, it's not often you meet 50% of your listeners in one show, so I'm thrilled.
True. But yeah, always, you know, play it safe up front, and you know that. But there's something in there really about, you know, we talk every year about how to win a league. It's about finding value with all of your picks. It's about playing it safe, getting those guaranteed returns early on. I think you did that with Soto, you did that with Vlad, you did that with Devers. But then arguably, you know, you really hit home with like Marcus Semien, with Shohei Ohtani, who you picked up much later. And that is the key to winning any league, is to find, you know, surplus value. The player you're picking at 120th, who delivers your top 30 season. So, I mean, to me, Colin's season was absolutely textbook in how to win a league and show it, so it came through. The other interesting, I think, for that, you're a Red Sox fan in your personal life, like far too many people for our liking, and you've got Rafael Devers in there. People often struggle not to put too many of their favourite, you know, their favourite team's players. Was that a challenge for you? Were you trying to go for Red Sox or not go for Red Sox players?
So, yes and no. I mean, obviously, I watch the Red Sox more than any other team, so I wanted to have at least a couple of them in my fantasy team just because I would watch them and see them regularly playing. So, Devers, I felt, would be a reliable pick, been consistent over the years, and I thought he would be a good, consistent pick for me. I got, I think because I've become so bat-heavy, when it came to pitches, I was really beginning to struggle. I had made up some info beforehand, but my Red Sox colours came through and I came to pitching, because I ended up picking about half of the Red Sox starting rotation because that was only ones I knew at the end, I think, to be honest. But it worked out initially anyway, didn't really work out. It wasn't so good later on the season. But I remember you saying it's worth having one or two players in your fantasy team that you like and like watching, as well as having, because it's a part of it's the enjoyment of being in
absolutely
fantasy baseball.
Absolutely, completely agree. And I say you had Erod, didn't you?
Yeah, Erod and Evaldi and Pivetta as well, you know. So and Barnes. Yeah. So
something a little bit. I think definitely as a Red Sox fan, yeah, you're gonna get more luck typically with the bats than you are with the arms. So yeah, I just think it's a real challenge for anybody.
And of course that paid off, because the Red Sox were so hot in the first half of the season, perhaps not so much the second half, but by then you were so freaking dominant. Now look, the second question on my list here, Colin, for you, is that you have joined 16 of our 20 rookies signing up for next season's Behind Home Plate Sophomore League. Obviously you're into your second season. You are, of course, the defending champion. The question is that going to be applying massive pressure to you? That's the official question. I think it's a rubbish question. The question I want to ask is, what pressure did you feel trying to take down JG's legends in the quarterfinal? Because I had your number with one day to go, I was in front. What was that pressure like, big guy? No one wants to know about the sophomore league. We want to know about that matchup.
That was definitely my most nervous week of the whole 24 weeks or so. I was on a knife edge. One, because I have fond memories of you, and you've got me into baseball many, many years ago. So playing against you was an honour. And in the first round, we drew, which I thought was fair. And then the second round, there was no room for second place here. It was winner takes all. So
yeah,
it was a real challenge. And the last night in particular was particularly stressful because, as you mentioned on the chat, the score, the lead changed backwards and forwards all evening. So I went to bed because I was working the next day. I had no idea if I was going to be out or in. So I woke up and I was delighted to see you'd hooked you at the post. So,
and that's what makes me laugh, because unlike you, being the sad who I am, I watched all night because it was so exciting, backwards and forwards.
Johnny was sad. I was driving from South London. I was going back from South London to North London. And Johnny was parked up in a gas station.
No, M4 services.
Yeah, he was on the services car park, checking. So I was going, oh no, Colin's got a hit again. Who's had a hit? Who's had a hit? And he was going through all of your.
It's true. It's completely true, Colin.
And like, it's like an hour long journey. And I got the internet, right, Johnny. I'm back home in North London now. Johnny, oh, you're home. I've just sat here for an hour in the services. I've still got 2 hours to go.
And I got home, that night, the battering was just off the scale. I mean, that's what got me through that. It was just amazing.
Oh, really? Really? You're telling me this? I was watching. Yeah. I was watching your flipping batters. Yeah. I mean, buddy, you have a phenomenal team. You had a phenomenal lineup. So you were very deserving of it. So let's get back to that original question. Are you feeling any pressure as the champion going into next season softball league?
Yes and no, I guess. I mean, I think because the draft went so well, I could not have picked a better draft, I think. And that's probably, the only way from there is possibly back down. But I think Jack on the chat said tonight about, oh, maybe about a one-year wonder, which I might just be beginner's luck. But I think that, I mean, it's fun for me. It was just a great fun doing it. I really enjoyed it. And won a bus that wouldn't have mattered so much, albeit I would obviously like to win. But next year, it'll be on guns blazing. I'll be researching the draft even more than I did this year to try and do as best I can at the beginning. So I'm up for year two, guys. There's no sitting back in my laurels here.
Colin, really good to hear that you enjoyed it, first and foremost. I mean, that was the key for everything. And we will obviously be running a rookie league next year, which obviously you're not entitled to join. And we've already got quite a few names on the list, but if there are any listeners out there still undecided, we do want you to get in touch. We have still got some slots for next season's rookie league. So just tell us, from your own very unique perspective, what did you get out of playing fantasy baseball compared to just, you know, previous season where you were just a baseball fan? Has it enhanced your enjoyment of baseball, the game?
Yeah, I would say, apart from the Red Sox winning the World Series, this has been the best year I've had as a baseball fan. I've absolutely loved being on fantasy. I tried it a couple many years ago in Fantasy Baseball UK, but I had no idea really what I was doing. I was very overawed by it all and just gave up after a couple of weeks. Where this was a much more friendly environment. The guys in the group were just brilliant. The chat's just been fantastic the whole year. But also just having you guys available to ask questions and be open and explain things made it so much easier to understand very quickly how to actually do it, how the tips and drafting, and just been a great increased knowledge base about fantasy baseball. And then also it made me watch games that I would never really have watched before. Because you're now, instead of just simply watching Red Sox games, and I was now watching games of Blue Jays game against the Pirates, just watching particular players, switching between, because I've got MLB at bat, which a lot of fans will have, which lets you switch between games when you see one of your players coming up, having an at bat, switch over, watch that, and I've never done that before, so it really increased my love of the game and my knowledge of the game as well, I think, because I remember at the beginning thinking, when I listened to you guys talking, especially James, I mean, his knowledge of baseball players to me was just unbelievable. I just was able to pick names here and there, and I just didn't have that in-depth knowledge, still obviously don't, but I'm far more knowledgeable about baseball players that I'm in the top sort of echelon of the sport that I load down that I didn't know before. I was looking back, I made an Excel sheet up for my drafting, that's one of my secrets, but and I listed the sort of top 100 pitchers, top 20 position players, and then looking back, it's quite good looking back at seeing the players that I didn't recognise that I now know. And that's just sort of demonstrated my increased knowledge. So it's been absolutely brilliant. You know, loved it, absolutely loved it.
We've sucked you in for life now, you realise. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You're done and dusted. But Jimbo, how joyous is it to hear what Colin's had to say? And obviously, he has the added bonus of being our champion. But isn't it fantastic to hear? And we've personally, the two of us, obviously being involved in loads of leagues, the joy we've had on the message board, and I cannot reiterate more to any listener that hasn't played fantasy baseball before, that you find a league like this one where the banter is so good. You know, Ed and Rolf and Mike, you know, we've just got so many great guys on the message board. And I think from our perspective, Colin, that's been the real joy of this, is that the vast majority really bought into it and certainly contributed via the message board to what's been a hugely enjoyable season, even though you knocked me out in the quarterfinal.
Should have been yours.
that's the key. Basically, that's what he's been waiting for you to say. This entire section was about Johnny, I was robbed. Or Johnny, I robbed you.
You're wrong. What I was waiting for was for Colin to say, quite frankly, it should have been you in the final because you were the only team worthy of taking me to the limit. That's what I was looking for, Jimbo. But anyway, I'm sure you will join me, Jim, in saying what an absolute joy it's been.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's been great fun. And, you know, we get a huge amount of pleasure trying to spread the word about fantasy baseball to as many people as possible. And hopefully that's another sort of 16 people who are on that journey of enjoying fantasy baseball and having, you know, additional stuff around the sport every day. That's what we're about. And hopefully we'll get many, many more people in the UK loving it and taking interest. So, yeah, it's all good.
Brilliant. Colin, before we close this section out, I'm right in saying you work with the NHS. Is that right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
But what's your role in the NHS, big guy?
So I'm the team manager for the Scotland Organ Donation Service.
Wow. Okay. Well, obviously, in our eyes, you're already a legend because you're the Rookie League champion. But to you and to all your colleagues in the NHS, a massive thank you, buddy, for what you guys have done in the last year plus, year and a half of this whole COVID nightmare. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, not just for being our champion, but for being a legend of the NHS.
Thanks very much.
Made him a little bit embarrassed there. So if you can't see this, I can. He's got a little bit red, but it was from the heart, Cole. Stay with us anyway, yeah, as we move on to section number three. And of course, batter number three is the suitcase. Quick reminder, of course, that is for a player that is rostered in less than 20% of on average ESPN leagues. Jimbo, we had an email, another one. We've been getting loads. It's fantastic. This is from Richard Davison. And I have to say, Richard, what a lovely man you are. He said, I wanted to get in touch and say how much I've been enjoying the podcast over the season. Really kind of you, Richard. Thank you. Love the chemistry between you guys and also the tips for players to pick up. Although I'm in a last gasp struggle to qualify the playoffs in my league. So perhaps I haven't been listening closely enough. So, Jimbo, Richard needs some help, and this week's suitcase, therefore, is for him for those playoff one last chance. Who have we been packing this week, Jimbo?
We've got some interesting ones. There are some new people in the suitcase this week. So starting with hitters, let's do it. Start at the infield. Second base short space, Yonny Hernandez of Texas. He's got 3 stolen bases this week. He's got 9 in total. He's actually hitting quite well. We talk about riding the hot hand in fantasy baseball. You've got 2.5 weeks left. If you need stolen bases, Yonny Hernandez is only 3% rostered. Why not give him a chance? On the other hand, if you need home runs, a bit of power, Brad Miller, Philadelphia, he's eligible first base, second base, third base outfielder, and he's starting against all right-handed pitchers. So he's hitting well for the Phillies. If you needed a catcher, Alejandro Kirk of Toronto, we've talked about Toronto, quite how many runs they're scoring. He's a big part of that. He's only playing alternate games with Danny Jansen. Both of them are quite hot. Kirk, I think, is the more interesting pickup. And then in the outfield, coming back for a second week, we've got Lane Thomas of Washington. He's still leading off for Washington. 6 more runs this week at the top of their order. Another home run, another stolen base. Still only about 15% rostered. I think that's a bit low. And potentially, if you're in a deeper league, you're looking for somebody almost certainly not rostered. Jesus Sanchez of Miami showing some power. He was quite powerful in AAA, got quite a lot of home runs there. He got 3 home runs over the weekend. Who knows? You know, everybody needs power, and he's probably available.
Well, it seems a regular story each and every week that it's not too hard to find the odd hitter, certainly for stolen bases or for home runs, but pitching's just been so tough, mate. Is it continuing to be for you and the suitcase? Have you got anybody you can offer?
Yeah, I think it's really tough. If you've picked up an injury to one of your star pitchers, or like me, you've got Yu Darvish go about as cold or disastrous as it can possibly get for the last couple of months, it's really difficult finding people to fill that gap. I'm going to give you one pitcher out there, Jose Suarez of the LA Angels, rostered in 6% leagues. He's had two really strong outings recently. He's a young pitcher. He's got Oakland at home next, which must be certainly winnable the way Oakland are playing. So I would look at that. Can't guarantee anything. But beyond that, I mean, honestly, we talked about going for relievers and getting those ratios. That's why absolutely I'd still be looking at relievers. Just to pick one, Alex Vesia of the Dodgers, I nearly put him as the Hail Mary in the last week. You know, he's had a win, he's had a hold, he's had six strikeouts and given up not earned runs. If you compare that to whoever you might have streamed, I guarantee that Vesia's stats are better. So really look at relievers.
And what about the closer? Because I always assume there's never going to be a closer on the waiver wire, and yet you seem to have a list as long as my arm.
There are closers and there are closers. There are closers. Whether they'll get any saves is another matter. But actually, there's quite a few. I mean, I think, you know, as you know, not unlike you with your little foray into fantasy NFL, I think a few players down the bottom of each league maybe have sort of headed in there. A few managers have headed off. So there are a few closers around. Michael Givens of Cincinnati, he's getting the saves there. His ratios have been terrible recently, but I think he's a decent closer. We know the Reds are still in that. They're absolutely in the thick of the playoff wildcard race. Dylan Floro, he's got four saves in the last fortnight for Miami. Rowan Wick, who's somebody I really like at the Cubs, Chicago Cubs, great ratios, three saves in the last fortnight. Joe Barlow, Texas, only 6% rostered, three saves in the last fortnight. And then two, which I'm less sure about, Andrew Chaffin of Oakland, great ratios. Again, I'd put him up with like Alex Vesia. If he's available, you should have him on your team anyway. But he has got a save and a blown save in the last 3 days. And if you're really, really desperate, we all seem to pick on poor old Arizona. But it looks like JB Wendelken is their closer in Arizona. And I think he's got the last two save opportunities.
You know, mate, literally every week you say, and the closer in Arizona now appears, and it literally changes every single week. Now, I know we've still got Colin with us. But
between them, they've probably got three saves all year.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because I've picked them all up and dropped them just as quickly. Colin, you're still with us, is that right?
Yep, still here.
Fantastic. I want to ask you a question, buddy. You've been a regular listener all season. Do you do what I do? Do you take this list that Jimbo comes out with the suitcase and zoom off online as soon as you've listened and check out and go, yeah, that's a good one, that's rubbish? Have you done that during the season?
Yeah, I remember actually walking the dog one morning about 5:30, and I think the podcast had gone up the night before or early hours, and I was straight home before anyone else was up and seeing if I could see who was available. So, yeah, it's a great tool for picking up players. I didn't really get into streaming pitching until near the end. I didn't really understand what streaming was, and that was one of the things of being in the rookie league, is you learn these things. So that was one of the advantages of being on listening to the podcast, is you get to hear these names, to go online, see if they're available, and see if you can steal them before anyone else gets up in the morning. So
yeah. And therein is a reason to listen to the pod as soon as it goes live. Well, thank you for that.
Now, I love the thought of people getting up at 5:30 to get the early insight from the pod. That's a very high bar, I think.
You're worth it, mate. I know a lot of people get up for 5:30 for James Holden, that's for sure. Okay, well, let's move on to the Hail Mary. So named because we're looking literally for a Hail Mary for a player rostered in less than 1% of leagues, although sometimes we allow Jimbo to go just over the 1%. Massive pressure, as always, because week in, week out, you nail it, Jimbo. Who have you got for us this week on the Hail Mary rostered in less than 1% of an average ESPN league?
So this week, Johnny, we've got Daniel Vogelback first baseman of Milwaukee, the Brewers there. So he's back from the injured list, and he is starting at first base against all right-handed pitching. And not only are obviously the Brewers winning and they're playing a great park to hit in, but you remember a couple of years ago, Vogelbach got really hot when he was playing for Seattle for about half a season and was sensational. And, you know, he is a player who could hit, you know, five home runs in a week, and he's only rostered 0.7% of leagues. You know, he could win your playoff match. I'm not saying he will, but, you know, at this stage, we are looking for people who have the potential who can absolutely do something. If you're very desperate, there is a player who could absolutely bring you some power if everything worked in his favour.
And as if our listeners needed reminding, your Hail Mary last week was, of course, that wonderfully named DJ Peters, the outfielder for Texas. You said he'll be racking up loads of Ks. That's the downside, but the upside is power. And I can tell our listeners that last week, after your recommendation, he delivered 4 runs, 1 home run, 3 RBIs. Not too shabby at all. But his on-base percentage was 0.174. So you were on the money, mate. You were on the money. Striking out for fun.
A mixed bag, definitely. Mixed bag. Yeah, but if you need the RBIs, you need the home runs, he delivered. So yeah,
it's worth the risk. Well, tragically, that's all we got time for, guys. Massive thanks to you, Colin, for being our special guest. And obviously, if you haven't booked your spot for the Rookie League next year, do get in touch with us. The email is, as always, behindhomeplaypod@gmail.com. Or you can contact us on Twitter, the show's handle @BHPpod. Or if you want to contact me directly, @JohnnyMGould, M for Michael. But much better to contact Jimbo because he's much more entertaining to speak to. And his Twitter handle is @Jam99. Colin, can't thank you enough, mate. Really appreciate you taking the time to join us. And what a legend you are, buddy. I mean, what a team. Totally deserved. And nothing has given me more joy this season, I could tell you right here, right now, with my hand on my heart, than you giving Holden the biggest kicking he's had in a head-to-head matchup for a very long time. Just remind the listeners, what was the final score, Jimbo? What was the final score?
I believe, to be honest, I can't remember at all, John.
Oh, what a surprise.
No. It was 9-1. It was
9-1. 9-1!
I was downed 9-1 in the final. So, yeah, it was a drubbing. So, yeah.
Colin, you're the people's champion.
Thank you. I mean, I just want to take this opportunity on behalf of all the guys in the league just to say a great thanks so much to both of you for taking the time to set up this league and then open up for us to join. I think everyone who's been on the league would say a big thank you very much. We've had an absolutely brilliant time and would recommend it to anyone who's thinking about dipping a toe into fantasy baseball. Please give it a go. It's been an absolute blast for all of us over the last year. Thanks very much.
Brilliant, mate.
Absolutely.
Oh, so kind of you. Unbelievable. And we've enjoyed it equally as much, but that's very kind of you. Lovely words. And our thanks to all our Rookie League members. As always, massive thanks to Jimbo. He puts in so much time outside of what is a proper full-time job, unlike me. An absolute massive thanks as well to all our listeners for the question. Do keep coming them in. For one thing, it helps us in the sense that we don't have to write a script. You basically write it for us. I'll obviously be back on the Johnny and Josh show at the weekend, so I do hope I'll have your company for that as well. But until then, Jim and I will be back next week on Behind Home Plate, looking to discuss the final week and a half of the regular season. I mentioned those words and I'm starting to get tearful, Jimbo. A week and a half.
That's sad, isn't it? Sad, but we've still got the playoffs after that. Hopefully the Braves in playoff baseball. So
absolutely. Absolutely. And maybe even Boston Red Sox for Colin, since he's with us, since he's a guest.
Good chance.
Yeah. You never know.
Guys, you're legends. Thanks ever so much. To all our listeners, thank you. We look forward to having your company next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well. Keep playing fantasy baseball. If you want the best seat, it's Behind Home Plate.